hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
It's time to climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. Good evening, Nnamdi.
And a good evening, Sonny.
Nnamdi, let's begin with the African boxers. Ghana's Maxwell Owuku will challenge WBC super featherweight champion Miguel Burkelt of Mexico on Saturday. The fight will take place at the Oasis Arena in Burkelt's hometown of Cancun, Mexico. Nnamdi, I previewed this fight earlier in the week, and I quoted you as saying this is mission impossible for Owuku. Your thoughts?
Remember, this is like the third replacement for this world title fight. And Owuku has 48 fights in all, 44-3-1. We've never heard of him before. On the boxing scene in Africa, nobody knows who Owuku is. So stepping into a fight, you're fighting in the man's hometown, mission impossible, like we say in the fight game.
How do you think Owuku got the title shot?
Well, the Filipino boxer was supposed to fight for the title, but the boxing commission in the Philippines decided to put a stop to it because they felt that there was not enough time for the fighter from the Philippines to recover from his last fight to going into a world title fight. So they had to put a stop to the fight.
The Filipinos are looking after their fighter, Nnamdi. Do you think we can see that type of protection among the African boxing commissions?
Well, the African Boxing Commission better step up their game, because if they don't, we don't want to see anybody coming back to Africa in a coffin, you know. We are dealing in dangerous business. You know, you can get killed in the ring. Sending guys here who are not up to par, fighting for a title, and if the corner cannot stop the fight and the referee cannot stop the fight, the guy might end up in the ICU.
Nnamdi, let's look back over the weekend. In Corpus Christi, Texas, Gilberto Ramirez beats another Ghanaian, Habib Ahmed, a.k.a. Wild Hurricane Ahmed, sixth-round knockout. You saw the fight, Nnamdi. Your thoughts?
Sonny, according to CompuBox is the one that counts the punch landed and the one thrown. Ramirez landed more punches in the final round than Habib landed in the whole fight. Check that out. In the final round, Ramirez landed 29, and homeboy from Africa landed 22 for the whole fight. Coming all the way from Africa, the drop only 22 punches, Sonny.
Ahmed, like Owuku, making his USA debut, Nnamdi. What's the deal there? Are these legitimate African fighters?
Not really, Sonny, because these guys, when they come out here, they're overmatched, you know. When you look at a fight on paper, it's a mismatch. We have seen great warriors from Africa come to the U.S., and they perform and they live up to expectation. But these guys have been coming out of Africa now with this bogus, dubious record. You wonder, who did they fight? Did they fight at the Punto Park, or did they fight their uncles? In Nigeria, we call that an agbero, you know, before the agbero in the park, you know. Put it down in my boxing record. But see, the boxing commission must step up, or these guys will be destroyed or be in deep trouble.
You talk about some of these great African gladiators from the past, Nnamdi. The Professor Azuma Nelson, I don't think he had as many prize fights under his belt as Owuku did, and yet he was quite a challenge when he came to the States.
Sonny, the professor in his 14th fight came to America, took on the great Mexican warrior, Salvador Sanchez. Sonny, this fight went on for 15 hard rounds, toe-to-toe, Sonny. When things were settled in 15 rounds, not 12 rounds like we see today. We've never heard of Azuma Nelson. Nobody knows who this guy from Africa. But he gave the champion a real, real fight. Guess what happened? From there on, boxing fans said, wow, we have a warrior from Africa. What we're seeing now is just guys just showing up with dubious titles and belts. And we need to see people like Azuma Nelson, Loti Moale, John the Beast Mugabe, Ike Bazooka Okwote. These guys came from Africa and they fought all the way to the end. This wannabes better stay home or destroy the foundation that was built by Azuma Nelson and all these people.
Let's stick with the African fighters, Nnamdi. Sherif the Lion Bogere from Uganda. He's had a title shot in the past, world title fight. Update on how he did in his most recent bout.
Well, this is the second fight since his injury, and he's coming along very well, and I'm very happy for him. This is the second win, unanimous decision. He just have to bring his power back, you know. That's what I was expecting him to really close with a big knockout. But still, it was a win, and now he's on his way back for a world title.
March 31st in Cardiff, Wales, Anthony Joshua versus Joseph Parker in a world heavyweight title unification fight. What's the latest on that bout, Nnamdi?
Glad to announce we will see this fight live in America.
Voice of America!
Showtime put up $1.95 million, which is almost $2 million, to show this fight to us here in America. Ticket sales, Sonny, 70,000 snapped up. Principality Stadium holds 80,000, you know. And if you want to be ringside, Sonny, you better have your dough together, bro.
Nnamdi, those brisk ticket sales again indicate that I don't see AJ coming to the States anytime soon to fight.
I keep telling people, and they think I'm crazy. He does not need America, Sonny. For ringside, you got to drop $5,000, Sonny. That is on paper. Close to fight night, that $5,000 ticket will be going for 10 G. So homeboy is really cleaning up. If you really want to talk with a homeboy or deal with him, you got to go to the UK where he's making money, making bank, you know.
Now, the two broadcast outfits that telecast a lot of the big fights here in the States, Nnamdi, HBO and Showtime, they've been kind of sparring with each other over Anthony Joshua. What's going on there?
Well, we're looking forward to Anthony Joshua going with HBO. HBO, if you remember, HBO used to give us all these great fights in the past, you know. And with HBO, it's a lot of eyeballs, you know. Showtime, yes, but still, HBO has been the king. But lately, HBO just kind of dropped the ball and Showtime's taking over. HBO put up the money, and Showtime matched the money. According to the deal, if Showtime can match the money, Showtime's got the deal. And Showtime, guess what? Showtime's also got Wilder and Luis Ortiz, match three at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. So Showtime's got it all covered, but HBO, you may have to think about cutting the cords right there, Sonny. Because we pay HBO all this money so that we can watch boxing. So if you cannot deliver the boxing fights for me on Saturday nights, man, what's the point of me giving you $70, $80 every month? That's not going to happen.
Deontay Wilder versus Luis Ortiz scheduled for March 3rd at the Barclays Center Arena in Brooklyn. What's going on with that fight, Nnamdi?
Well, Sonny, this is the second time. The first time they were supposed to fight last November, Ortiz from Cuba tested positive for some banned steroid. You know, dude was juicy. The fight is set. The big question we have to ask ourselves, will this fight sell out 17,000? I guarantee you one thing, 17,000 tickets will not be sold. Yes, will the house be papered? Yeah, we do that in America. We paper the house, you know? What I mean by papering the house, we give away free tickets to make it all full, you know?
right, to make it look good.
Yeah, for television, it's got to look good, you know, put people here and there, you know, paper the house.
Thanks, Nnamdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. And we'll hear more hard-hitting boxing commentary from Nnamdi during Friday's Sunny Side of Sports. The Winter Olympics officially opened Friday in Pyeongchang, South Korea. It marks the first time South Korea has hosted the Winter Olympics 30 years ago, the South Korean capital, Seoul, was the venue for the Summer Olympics. On Thursday in Pyeongchang, International Olympic Committee President Thomas Bach hosted a dinner for heads of state and IOC members. Among the guests on hand were Britain's Princess Anne, United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres, and Swiss President Alain Berset. U.S. Vice President Mike Pence is leading the USA's official delegation to the Winter Olympics, and he arrived in Pyeongchang on Thursday. Also on Thursday, American athlete Aaron Hamlin, a bronze medalist at the 2014 Winter Olympics in the women's luge event, was named the United States flag bearer for Friday's opening ceremony in Pyeongchang. Aaron was chosen by a vote of the members of Team USA. Speaking at a news conference in Pyeongchang, the 31-year-old Hamlin said, "It's a tremendous honor."
You know, winning a medal is the effort that you've put in and the time and the work and the sacrifice to succeed and achieve something. That's all on me. That's something that I've done and worked really hard for, and you accomplish that goal. But getting this honor is different because, you know, it's people looking at the work that you put in and acknowledging that, and your peers. You know, it's my fellow Team USA athletes who gave me this. And so that, you know, means a ton because they're athletes that do the same thing I do, and that, you know, there are so many people that are deserving of this that to be selected is pretty amazing.
At the 2014 Winter Olympics in Sochi, Russia, Aaron Hamlin became the first American to win a medal in the singles luge competition when she captured that bronze. She says her parents and other family members will attend Friday's opening ceremony to watch her carry the American flag.
Every Olympics, they've kind of gone back and forth whether or not to go to opening ceremony because, you know, they obviously went the first year that I competed, and then after that, tickets are really expensive. So they're like, yeah, maybe we better not. And they always end up going because they're like, oh, we're here, let's just do it. And this time was the same. And they're like, well, it's your last Olympics, we'll go. I think they're going to be really glad that they made that decision. But yeah, they're really pumped. I'm sure my brothers will be really pumped. We've grown up watching the Olympics, and we're always like, oh, who's going to be carrying the flag? And to actually be that person is insane.
At Thursday's news conference in Pyeongchang, U.S. Olympian Aaron Hamlin was asked what she thinks it means to have North Korea represented at the Winter Games in South Korea.
I think it shows potential for the spirit of the Olympics to survive. I mean, that's what it's all about, is bringing people together in a peaceful environment to celebrate sport and something that we all love to do. And yeah, we all speak different languages, we're all from different cultures, we eat different food, we wear different things, but we all are the same, we're all athletes, and none of that stuff matters when it comes to competition. Like, it's your political views or your dinner plate isn't going to matter, and it's not going to affect your time. I mean, maybe your dinner plate if you're not eating well, but it all comes down to being able to perform when it's necessary.
That's Aaron Hamlin, who will carry the American flag during Friday's opening ceremony for the Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang, South Korea. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. More Winter Olympics news. Aaron Hamlin will be joined at Friday's opening ceremony by USA teammate Julia Marino, who competes in the women's Olympic snowboard event. My VOA colleague Jim Stevenson has a profile of Marino, as well as a look back at the Super Bowl championship game in American-style football.
The 2018 Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang, South Korea opened this week, and among the American athletes, there's a freestyle snowboarder who says it was a twist of fate that brought her to the sport and ultimately to become a part of Team USA. As the leader of a squad with a good chance at winning a medal, Julia Marino says she never dreamed her path to possible Olympic glory, would be on a snowboard. The 20-year-old freestyle X Games gold medalist and her fellow teammates trained in Austria ahead of the Winter Olympics.
First Olympics for a lot of us, and so there's definitely like some stress around that, but I think it's like a good kind of stress. It's fun to have that, and it's not something that kind of psychs you out too much, I guess. It just pumps you up, and it's like a little adrenaline high that makes you want to work harder.
At age 18, Marino snowboarded her way to the limelight when she won the International Ski Federation's Big Air World Cup in Boston. A U.S. national team member withdrew ahead of this year's Olympics, which shuffled Marino from a team alternate to the starting lineup. But fate did not start or stop there.
When I was 13, I was skiing. I had kind of a girly-ish pair of skis that wasn't really meant for the things I was doing, like hitting jumps and going in the trees and stuff, and I snapped one ski pretty much in half.
Her family was on a yearly ski vacation to Colorado. She asked her dad to rent her another pair.
My dad was like, no, you have a perfectly good snowboard at home, and you're going to use that the rest of the time. So I, at first, was really bummed about it, but then as soon as I, you know, kind of started getting into it and accepting the fact that I'm going to have to snowboard the rest of this trip, I started really enjoying it.
Enjoying it so much that she is now on the U.S. national team, snowboarding for gold on sport's biggest stage.
When you ride with someone, I think you definitely, you know, progress at a faster rate because, one, you're having fun, and, two, like, when you see something that they do, you want to do, you know, the same thing, and then you guys just build off of each other.
While she may make snowboarding look easy at the Winter Olympics, it's the hard work on the slopes that may bring Marino closer to achieving her lifelong dream. The underdog Philadelphia Eagles defeated the New England Patriots 41-33 in Minneapolis, Minnesota to win the 52nd edition of the U.S. National Football League's annual Super Bowl. It was one of the most entertaining football games played, as both teams set a combined record of offensive yards for any NFL contest, let alone the Super Bowl, an astounding 1,151 yards. The win gave the Eagles, representing the National Football Conference, their first ever Super Bowl trophy. In two previous appearances, they lost to the Oakland Raiders in 1981 and New England in 2005. Eagles quarterback Nick Foles, who was a backup this season until star quarterback Carson Wentz suffered a season-ending knee injury in Week 14, was named the game's most valuable player. He threw for 3 touchdowns and 373 yards.
You never really know what it's going to be like when you're going to a Super Bowl. I've never been here before, so There are normal nerves. You got butterflies. I mean, it's a big game. I mean, it doesn't get any bigger than this. So, but I felt good. I felt calm. I think the big thing that helped me was knowing that I didn't have to be Superman. I have amazing teammates, amazing coaches around me. And all I had to do was just go play as hard as I could and play for one another, play for those guys. And, you know, not look at the scoreboard, not look at the time, just go out there and play. Don't worry about it.
Foles nearly quit the game, but decided to keep playing after soul searching and consultations with his family.
You know, a couple years ago, there was a time where I was thinking about hanging up the cleats. And, you know, I think as people, you know, we deal with struggles. And that was, you know, a moment in my life where, you know, I thought about it and, you know, I prayed about it. I'm grateful that I made the decision to come back here and play.
Patriots head coach Bill Belichick has been on the winning end of the Super Bowl 5 times and now on the losing end 3 times.
We're really proud of the way our team competed tonight. It wasn't, unfortunately, our best, which it needs to be in this game against a great team like the Eagles. But proud of the way our players, coaches, everybody competed for 60 minutes. It just wasn't quite enough.
Bill Belichick will be in the Hall of Fame one day, as will quarterback Tom Brady. They were seeking their second consecutive Vince Lombardi trophy and their 6th overall in Brady's 16 seasons with New England.
Yeah, we moved the ball quite a bit too. We just, you know, we did a good job in the second half. First half, you know, we had a lot of yards. We just didn't have a lot of points. That came back to kind of bite us in the end.
Although he's 40 years old now, Brady says he plans to return next year to try for that 6th title. Foles says he tried not to think about the implications of such a big game and focus instead on each play for the entire game.
When this became reality was when we won the NFC Championship game, because that was what was staying in the moment, and I wasn't worrying about the next day. I was worrying about that moment, and that's what, you know, I did today, we did today. just staying in this moment, doing everything you can in the moment to be successful, and the outcome was we were world champs.
As you might imagine, in Philadelphia, the fans took to the streets with exuberant celebrations that at times called for police intervention. Early Monday, crews were in the streets to clean up broken windows and downed road signs in the city center. The Eagles' last championship came in 1960, 7 years before the first Super Bowl game.
And thanks to my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson, for that spicy and super sports report. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Just ahead, a quick look at Nigeria's first ever Winter Olympics team. So please, keep on the sunny side.
Keep on the sunny side.
Time in Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. From the classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need. Free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me, I'm Heather Maxwell, for Music Time in Africa, every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000, and 2100 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Nigeria will be represented by four women at Friday's opening ceremony for the Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang. Simidele Adeyagbo will compete in the women's skeleton, a sliding sport in which one athlete rides a small sled down a frozen track while lying face down. And Seyun Adigun, Akwoma Omeoga and Ngozi Onwumere will represent Nigeria in the women's bobsled event. This marks the first time Nigeria has sent a team to the Winter Olympics. And one interesting family note about the Nigerian Winter Olympics team, Seyun Adigun is the driver and leader of Nigeria's Olympic women's bobsled team. She's also the niece of Hall of Fame basketball player Akeem the Dream Olajuwon. Olajuwon, like Adigun, attended the University of Houston in the U.S. state of Texas. And while in Texas, it said that Adigun had her Winter Olympic inspiration. She built a homemade sled of wood and scrap material, and then she started thinking to herself, I want to compete in the Winter Olympics. And so she recruited those other Nigerian women, and now they're in Pyeongchang. Wave that Nigerian flag high on Friday, Nigeria's first ever Winter Olympics team. Now, I don't know whether Akeem Olajuwon ever had a basketball game postponed because of a roof leak, but that's exactly what happened, sports fans, on Wednesday night in a National Basketball Association game between the Indiana Pacers and the New Orleans Pelicans in the southern U.S. city of New Orleans, Louisiana. The game was postponed after a nearly two-hour delay because of a roof leak that allowed rainwater to puddle near one of the foul lines. That doesn't happen very often in the NBA. And that wraps up the February 8th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. No rain here in the studio. Lots of bright sunshine. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Dan Crafton. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
President Joseph Kabila of the Democratic Republic of the Congo, or DRC, has served the two terms permitted under the country's constitution. It is someone else's turn to seek office. A crisis ensued when Kabila failed to organize timely elections and stepped down. Following negotiations, Kabila's ruling party and the opposition coalition signed the Saint Sylvester Accord. President Kabila agreed not to seek a third term or change the constitution. He would remain in office until the installation of his successor, following elections, which would be held by the end of December 2017. But there were no elections in the DRC last year, nor will any be held until December 2018 at the earliest. And now President Kabila's party is talking about changing the constitution to allow him to run for another term. The president's refusal to step down and the political machinations that have delayed elections over and over again have caused a political crisis, heightened insecurity, and triggered a series of street protests in which scores of people have been killed. On December 31st, the Catholic Lay Coordinating Committee organized peaceful demonstrations where security forces used excessive force against unarmed participants. Another peaceful protest was scheduled for Sunday, January 21st. Authorities prepared for the demonstration by preemptively shutting down internet and SMS services and forbade gatherings of more than five people. When the peaceful protest nonetheless took place, they shot tear gas and live ammunition into the crowd, killing at least seven people, injuring nearly another hundred, and arresting dozens. We condemn in the strongest terms the violence perpetuated by the DRC security forces on January 21st against church-led peaceful protests, said State Department spokesperson Heather Nauert in a written statement. We are appalled that the DRC government, including President Kabila, would employ repressive tactics and disproportionate use of lethal force against civilians, including religious leaders and children, exercising their democratic rights to call for credible and inclusive elections, she said. The use of lethal force against Congolese citizens and the cutting of internet and SMS services undermine the democratic process, obstruct implementation of the Saint Sylvester Accord, and contravene international human rights norms. We call on President Kabila to hold accountable security force members who fired on civilians or ordered the use of lethal force, and urge him and his government to ensure a peaceful and open electoral process so that credible elections are held as scheduled in December 2018.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga. Join me for Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC. We'll take an in-depth look at an African news topic important to you. We'll have African journalists and expert guests share their ideas on the topic at hand. So, please plan to be with us every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.